Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the New Testament book of Luke. Now to Pastor Chris.
We begin the book of Luke today on Through the Word, and chapter 1 opens with a promise from God delivered by a mighty angel. It's a promise of hope after a long time of waiting. Hope is a powerful force. Hope is a school kid looking forward to summer break, or a joyful bride counting down the days to a wedding date. I love hope. Hope is how we get through it all, and hope keeps us going. Now, hope that you find in the Bible isn't like other hopes. It's not a wish or a dream. It's a promise. Real hope is always tied to God's promise and God's faithfulness. To the world, hope is like a lottery ticket, a big gamble on luck and chance. But for the believer in Jesus, hope is more like a bus ticket. The ride may be a rough one, but our bus driver always makes his destination, and our ticket says heaven. We're going home. Here in chapter 1, Luke's story begins with two hopeful promises from God made to two of his faithful servants. Let's check in on the first promise at verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. So the first two characters in our story are Zechariah and Elizabeth, two godly believers enduring one long trial. Sometimes life is rough on the nice guys. Verse 7 says that they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Now that's a nice way of saying they were too old to have kids, and having kids was definitely one of their great hopes for a long time. If you know what it's like to serve God faithfully for years, all the while praying and waiting for your heart's one desire, this story is for you. Zechariah was a Jewish priest, and we catch up with him serving in the temple of the Lord at the altar of incense. The incense in the temple represents prayer, and we see prayer happening everywhere in this story, both inside and outside the temple. Zechariah himself has been praying for one thing for a long time. There inside the temple, Zechariah is surprised by an angel named Gabriel. Let's read at verse 12. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard." Now there's an encouraging message. Your prayer has been heard. But which prayer? It's the prayer to have a child, of course. Zechariah had been saying that prayer for years, praying and hoping. God had listened faithfully all those years, and his answer came at last at verse 13. "Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John." Now this baby named John would become the man we know as John the Baptist, or as my old pastor used to call him, J the B. This is not the disciple John who wrote one of the Gospels. This John was a prophet, one of the most important prophets in all the Bible. His job description is given in verses 16 and 17, and it's a whole lot more than just baptizing. Let's read. "Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Now that's a powerful ministry. Imagine that was your calling today, bringing many back to God, turning fathers' hearts to their kids, turning the rebellious punks to true wisdom, and above all, making ready a people prepared for Jesus. So after years of praying for a baby, Zechariah gets his answer, and it's almost too good to be true. So good that Zechariah has trouble believing it, and because he won't believe, he goes dumb. Not dumb as in stupid, dumb as in can't speak, because God takes his voice away. There's a lesson here. Unbelief makes you dumb. When you don't trust God at his word, it will keep you quiet and hold you back from sharing the good news. So Zechariah can't tell anyone what he's heard, but the angel Gabriel still has more to say. 6 months later, Gabriel shows up again, this time to visit a young Jewish woman named Mary, who is engaged to a young Jewish man named Joseph. Gabriel's message to Mary starts in verse 30. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." This is quite a prophecy. You may have heard it before with the Christmas story, but look at the words carefully. The promise is made of a king. Jesus was born to be king on the throne of King David, and his kingdom will last forever. Now that's a big promise, especially considering that the throne of David had not been occupied for centuries. The Jews had a king at the time, a tyrant named Herod, who ruled the Jews ruthlessly, and he served under Caesar Augustus in Rome, a cruel and wicked man who called himself a god. So this prophecy to Mary was a promise of hope, and it was indeed a long time coming. Don't miss this. The kingdom of God and the king who will rule it are at the heart of all Bible prophecy. It is what all history is leading up to. That kingdom will change the world, and it will last forever. Here in Luke, the archangel Gabriel just named the king, and his name is Jesus. This is big. Now, Mary's response to this massive prophecy is beautiful, honest, and very human. In verse 34, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." You gotta love this. Mary skips past all the everlasting kingdom stuff and says, "Wait a second, I'm a good Jewish girl. How am I going to have a baby when I'm just engaged?" So Gabriel explains that the Holy Spirit would make it happen, so that the child would be called the Son of God. As he says in verse 37, "For nothing is impossible with God." I like that. If you translate that phrase literally, it says, "With God, no word is without power." God gave Mary a word, and his word came with power. The same is true for us. Our hope rests in the power behind every promise from God's word, for nothing is impossible with God. And Mary believes. Where Zechariah had trouble believing and so couldn't speak, Mary can't wait to tell someone. Ironically, Mary runs off to tell Zechariah's wife, who is also Mary's cousin, Elizabeth. Elizabeth is quite pregnant by this time and excited to see Mary. In verse 45, she exclaims, "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Elizabeth knows that there is a special blessing for Mary's faith, for simply trusting God at his word. So Mary and Elizabeth are both in on the excitement now. This is that big moment when you have the most amazing news, and you finally get to share it with someone who really gets it. Mary is overflowing with joy now, and her joy turns into a song. See, the promise of God always comes with hope, but that hope is only enjoyed when you receive it with faith. Mary enjoys it, and so she sings it. This song is known as the Magnificat, and contrary to the way it sounds, it is not about a feline superhero. Magnificat is simply Latin for glorify, because Mary's soul is glorifying the Lord. After the song, we move on to the birth of John the Baptist, and then Zechariah gets his voice back, and he breaks into song. The joy of believing has finally struck the old priest, and we have a regular musical here in chapter 1. Both of these songs are beautiful, and I encourage you to read Luke 1 for yourself today. You can even sing the songs if you like. They are spontaneous songs written by hearts overflowing with joy, because hope is on the horizon at last. And as we get ready to journey through Luke's gospel, hold on to God's promises, hold on to hope, and take a cue from John the Baptist. Prepare a clear path for Jesus in your heart.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free and free to share, so tell your friends and take the journey together. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries in Diamond Head, Mississippi. You can find information and links for all of our teachers on the website. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.